We all know Canada's economy is suffering right now. We've had an inflation crisis, high unemployment, declining GDP, capital investment fleeing Canada for other countries, massive federal deficits, and of course, the U.S. tariff threat, which has exposed just how dependent we are on one single country for the vast majority of our exports. It's been a tough go lately. But what if I told you that we could help solve every single one of these problems with just a couple of key policy changes by our federal government? What if there was a way to create hundreds of thousands of jobs, attract back hundreds of billions in investment capital, bolster GDP growth, diversify our trade markets, and flow new revenues to federal and provincial budgets, all without spending a single tax dollar? Does that sound too good to be true? Well, it isn't. And all that stands in the way is just some common sense and a bit of courage by our Prime Minister. You see, Canada has among the largest supply of valuable natural resources on Earth. On a per-person basis, our endowment of natural resources far exceeds China, Europe, Russia, and even the United States. And it's not particularly close. We have incredibly fertile lands and oceans, unmatched supplies of timber, uranium, and potash, and a treasure trove of critical minerals in every province and territory. And one more thing, we literally live on top of more than a trillion barrels of oil and more than a quadrillion cubic feet of natural gas. These oil and gas resources represent an astounding tens of trillions of dollars in potential wealth for our country. That means hundreds of thousands of new great paying jobs, hundreds of billions in taxes and royalties for government services and infrastructure, and potentially trillions more in spin-off industries like AI data centers, petrochemicals, environmental technology, and a host of other industries that would benefit profoundly from the wealth generated from its development. Oil and gas is not only Canada's largest economic sector, it's Canada's trump card, so to speak. It makes us a potential economic superpower to rival any nation. And if we play our energy cards right, it would make us almost immune from the sometimes hostile policy decisions made by foreign governments anywhere in the world, because we have a wealth of oil and gas riches that no other democracy possesses. Not India, not Europe, not even the United States. Not only that, we are better than any other country at producing that energy in an environmentally responsible manner. We have the complete package. A stable, friendly, and law-abiding democracy with one of the largest and most valuable supplies of energy resources on Earth, and almost every country in the world wants to buy more of what we have. All we have to do as a country is say yes. Pretty exciting, right? There's just been one problem. For the past 10 years, our federal government, led by Justin Trudeau, put in place a series of laws and regulations designed to target and phase out of existence Canada's largest economic sector, oil and gas. First, they made new pipelines virtually impossible to build through the passage of the unconstitutional C-69 No New Pipelines Bill, which added so much confusion, uncertainty, and red tape that Canada earned a reputation as one of the very worst places in the world to invest in resource projects. They didn't stop there, though. The federal Liberals then specifically targeted the world's most valuable single deposit of natural resources, the Alberta oil sands. They banned all oil tankers off the northwest coast of BC, landlocking a trillion-dollar asset that would have enriched the lives of millions of Canadians for generations. And then, to cap it off, the federal government announced an impossible-to-achieve oil and gas emissions cap that makes new oil and gas production effectively impossible, which is why Albertans call it an oil and gas production cap. The funny thing about this particular emissions cap, it wasn't imposed on any other type of production, not on the production of cement, or steel, or aluminum, or any other product mined or manufactured in Canada. Nope, the cap was placed on just one single sector, oil and gas. You can probably understand why Albertans are mighty unhappy about that. The Conference Board of Canada just released a report concluding that this cap will cost the Alberta economy roughly $1 trillion in lost GDP, 150,000 jobs, and $200 billion in provincial revenues by 2050. And the Canadian economy stands to lose even more. The results of these federal anti-energy laws have already been catastrophic to the Canadian economy and our investment reputation around the world. Northern Gateway Pipeline, cancelled. Energy East Pipeline, cancelled. New oil sands expansion, cancelled. Hundreds of billions in investment capital for new ports, pipelines, and projects, all gone. to the United States, the Middle East, and anywhere else but here. It's so bad, in fact, that in order to complete the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion to Vancouver, Ottawa had to step in and buy the project from a private company that lost billions trying to navigate through all this government red tape, and ended up spending tens of billions of dollars more than initially budgeted due to cost overruns caused by their very own anti-energy legislation. We should all be glad it was finally built, but it should have been the private sector who built it. In any event, all of these laws combined constituted one of the greatest acts of national economic self-harm in our nation's history. No other nation would ever think to phase out its most valuable assets worth tens of trillions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of jobs for its people. That would be utterly self-destructive. And yet, that is exactly what Canada has done to itself. The result? High unemployment, massive federal and provincial budget deficits, hundreds of billions in investment capital fleeing the country, and a country under the economic thumb of a single export market. But there is one silver lining to all of these economic challenges. Canadians right across our country appear to be waking up to what has happened. We're starting to understand that we've been shooting ourselves in the foot. We are far too economically dependent on one customer, and that if we want to be economically prosperous and independent again, we need to take advantage of the incredible endowment of resources that we enjoy. And luckily, we, Canada, still have control over our own destiny. We don't have to remain economically weak. We don't need to rely on any foreign nation for our economic well-being. Our success is a guarantee if, and here's the key, if our federal government and a couple of provincial ones will simply agree to unblock and unleash the power of our oil, gas, and natural resource sectors. And it won't take a lot to get started either. Here are three things the federal government could do right now that would immediately turn our nation's economic fortunes around. First, announce that Canada will no longer be implementing the oil and gas emissions cap. This will send a clear signal that Canada wants to expand oil and gas production and reduce emissions through technology and innovation, rather than by capping resource development. Second, announce that Canada will be repealing the oil tanker ban this fall. The federal government can then work with BC, Alberta, and Indigenous leaders to build a new resource corridor and bitumen pipeline to ports on the Northwest BC coast to access new markets in Asia. And third, announce an overhaul to the C-69 known as Pipelines Law. The federal government needs to commit to working with the provinces to change the law to ensure there is no federal interference with the approval of in-province resource projects, while significantly streamlining federal approvals for cross-border projects such as pipelines, power lines, and economic corridors. That's it. Those three things alone will change the fortunes of our country's economy overnight. New jobs will be created right across the country. Unemployment will dramatically fall. New investment capital, much of it returning back to us from the United States, will begin to flow northward. New revenues will be generated to help balance government budgets and pay for needed public services like health, education, and roads. Opening new trade markets around the world that are hungry for Canadian energy will make the days of over-reliance on one export market a thing of the past. To put it more bluntly, Canada will be back, stronger and more independent than ever, a true economic powerhouse navigating this difficult world from a position of strength rather than weakness. The true North, strong and free. We can do this. We just need the Prime Minister and our federal government to act and get it done. The majority of Canadians are already there. We just need the elected officials to get on board. So I invite you to contact your local MP and provincial representative and encourage them to pledge their support. Because building a strong, united, and independent Canada is worth fighting for.